The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
There's been a lot of attention focused on transportation in the Milwaukee area lately. With more than $1 billion being spent on rebuilding the zoo interchange and the construction that has started on the city's new streetcar system. But on this edition of UWM Today, we're going to focus on a much simpler form of getting around, riding your bike and walking. Joining us in the studio is Bob Schneider, Assistant Professor of Urban Planning at UWM. Bob is a national expert on how cities can create more bike-friendly and pedestrian-friendly streets and roads. And he's also created a new system for examining the causes of crashes that sometimes end up injuring or even killing bikers or walkers. Bob, welcome to the studio. And we should tell our guests that, our listeners, that you, our guest, actually practiced what you preached. You rode your bike to the radio station today.
Well, I did ride down here. Thanks for having me, Tom. I really appreciate it. It was one of the best ways to get down here because I could pass by traffic congestion and park right by the building near the front door and walked right on up here.
So, and by golly, you didn't have to pay for any parking.
Zero cost for my parking.
Well, how much has biking increased here in the Milwaukee area than in the past?
Yeah, so if we look at the numbers from the American Community Survey, which captures data on regular commuters to work, what mode do they use most often to travel to work? And for biking, we had 0.47% of all commuters in the mid-2000s here in the city of Milwaukee.
So less than
by bike.
Less than half a percent.
It's doubled, and actually more than doubled, to about 1.1% in the last year. So we've seen, if you put that in real number terms, there were probably about 1,200 people biking in the mid-2000s, and now there's 2,500 people biking on an average day. Now, if you look in the middle of the summer, it's much higher than that. That's an average throughout the year, so it accounts for the winter time as well.
How do we compare to the national average?
So the national average is slightly lower than what we have right now here in Milwaukee. It's in the 0.7% range. But that's because we factor in all the suburban and rural areas. Cities have a natural advantage as a place where people would commute by bicycle just because commuting distances are relatively short for people who live in the city and are commuting to a workplace there.
Now, in doing the research, I saw that there actually are some cities that have some really big numbers.
Yes.
When it comes to bikers.
Our leader, as far as a larger size city here in the United States, is Portland, Oregon, and they have about 6% of their people, their workers, biking to work. And so that's, you know, more than five times we have the amount we have here in Milwaukee. A city like Minneapolis, with a similar climate, maybe even a little bit harsher than ours, has almost 4%. Biking to work. So they are actually a fair amount ahead of us because they've invested a lot in paths and bike lanes and encouraging people to bike. I should say and give some recognition to our city over just a few miles to the west, Madison. They have a bike mode share of about 6% as well. And so that's similar to Portland, Oregon, but they're a smaller size city. And with the University of Wisconsin there, they have a natural advantage being a university town.
Yeah, with 40-some thousand
students. Yeah, that helps.
Many of whom do have bikes. So you mentioned the reasons why some communities do better than others in terms of actually creating a pathway. Has our biking average here in the Milwaukee area gone up because we've begun to do things differently here? Or is it just us wanting to get healthier and be outside more?
It's probably partially both, in that we've added somewhere between 80 and 100 miles of bike lanes here in the city in the last decade. So that adds to the ability of people to feel comfortable and have a space for riding on the roadway. You should note that bicyclists are legal users of the roads. So if you're riding down a neighborhood street and there's no bike lane, it's okay for you to ride on the street. And actually, that's usually a safer place to be riding. As far as what's getting more people to bicycle, having a really good trail network certainly helps here in Milwaukee. The Milwaukee County Parks and other counties nearby have really invested in a good trail system, and that's being recognized by national organizations as being very good. So we do have some of the key framework of creating a great city to bicycle in. We do have a long way to go in terms of making those streets feel more comfortable. And there's really five different terms that communities use for organizing their thoughts on how do we actually make those improvements to become a bicycle-friendly city. They're education, enforcement, engineering, encouragement, and evaluation. And I was just describing some of the engineering type of improvements, so changing the roadways so that they're more comfortable for biking and people feel like they have space to do so. On the education side, it's telling motorists how to drive close to or on the same roadways as bicyclists. How do we share the road among different types of users? Educating bicyclists on how to safely follow the rules of the road. Since they're legal users of the roadway, they have the same responsibilities to follow the laws as motorists do. On the enforcement side, it's making sure that all users of the roadway are following traffic signals and stop signs, speed limits for car traffic. I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit more as we get more into the safety side of things. But as speeds increase, the risk to both bicyclists and pedestrians really increases. It's actually an exponential increase. Your chances of being injured or killed when speed goes up. So it's really important to think about the enforcement side of traffic traffic speeds. Then in terms of encouragement, we want to tell people about bicycling as an option and say, hey, it's a regular thing to do. There are other people who do it. You shouldn't feel like you're somebody who's doing a strange activity. It should be seen as a normal activity out on the roadways. That's done through things like Bike to Work Day or Bike to Work Week, Safe Routes to Schools programs in our elementary schools. That's another effort that's being done. So those four things are common strategies that cities are using, and they're using these strategies all across the country. We're using them here in Milwaukee. And then a final one is evaluation, and that's kind of where us academics come in. And we want to quantify how many people are actually out riding. How safe is it? Do people feel comfortable when they're riding? And so that's the evaluation side. And when you mentioned the crash analysis technique that we developed through our study, that was one form of evaluating safety.
And we're going to talk more about that crash analysis in just a minute, but I want to go back and talk about those four factors that you said are critical or important to increasing the number of people on the road. And let's start with the way in which people obey the rules.
Yeah.
And you said something really important when you mentioned the fact that not only do motorists have to make sure that they respect the rights of that bicyclist, mm-hmm. but also bicyclists have to make sure that they are doing their part. That's sometimes an issue, isn't it?
It's an important thing for bicyclists who may feel like the transportation system is not designed for them. If you go out on the roadways and there's no bike lanes out there and there's traffic zooming by you, you may feel, well, I'm kind of just left out. There's a sidewalk over there for pedestrians and I see a crosswalk for them. And then there's countdown signals for the pedestrians. And then we've got the signals for cars and we've got all the lanes that have been designed for cars. Where's my infrastructure? So in some cases, bicyclists in those situations are like, well, I'm just not going to necessarily follow certain rules. But I think it's really important for all bicyclists and all users of the roadway to be reminded to follow the rules, because really they're there so that we can have safe interactions, so that people can be traveling in a way that other people will expect. And so that will make it safer for everybody.
And that's really important because it takes both parties, a motorist and a bicyclist, to respect each other in order for this to work. My wife and I do a lot of biking and a lot of walking. And the other night we were walking along Lake Drive and we were at a stop sign and two bicyclists pulled up right alongside of us. And they were talking to each other about how are things going? And we were standing there waiting for the light to change. And one guy said, yeah, I got pulled over by a Bayside cop yesterday. And his friend said, well, what'd you do? He said, I ran through a stop sign. And the other guy said, you shouldn't have done that.
So right. He shouldn't have.
So they knew, but you know, the temptation. And I've done the same thing on a bike. The temptation is, nobody come in. And, you know, I don't want to go ahead and come to a complete stop because I don't have a motor to get me going. So what's the problem with that?
You know, and when we think about the enforcement side of things and educating people about safe use of the mode of transportation they are are traveling by, there are certain types of behaviors that are more risky than others. So if you blow through a traffic light and there's much traffic coming in the other direction and you have to weave through it and you almost get hit, that's a very dangerous behavior, as opposed to if you're going through a neighborhood street and you slow down almost completely at the stop sign and then you keep going after that. So if I had a recommendation for which particular behaviors to really focus enforcement on, it would be the more dangerous ones. And the other thing to remember is that drivers who are in vehicles, they have more mass behind them. And so even if it may be a bicyclist's fault for going through a stop sign or not following a certain law, the motorist still does need to be careful because they are driving a vehicle that can inflict serious injury.
They have an advantage. They have a weight advantage there.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just practical thinking to make sure you take care of yourself.
As long as we're on the topic, I might as well just mention this. In terms of driving, one of the things that we saw through our safety study was that there were many crashes that involved pedestrians that were at locations where drivers should have yielded to them because they were in a marked crosswalk, either a marked or an unmarked crosswalk, but at an intersection location that may not have had a stop sign or a stoplight. The driver was traveling straight, and then the pedestrian was crossing the street. Now, in that case, there is the responsibility to yield the right-of-way to the pedestrian. And I think many drivers simply just aren't aware of that rule. They may have heard of it in driver's ed for 1 week and then probably haven't thought about it since. Because we do, in how we drive, socially reinforce the way everybody else drives. So if you don't see other people around yielding to pedestrians at crosswalks, you may just not think about it yourself. But one thing that we can do to hopefully make those pedestrians safer is to instill in drivers an awareness that they need to yield to pedestrians at crosswalks, even if it's not at a stoplight or a stop sign.
And can be tragic consequences, as we've seen regularly with car pedestrian accidents.
Yeah. Well, if we look at the data in that situation, in looking very closely at the types of crashes that occurred, there's about 50 pedestrians that are killed throughout the state per year in traffic crashes. And 28% of those crashes are due to motorists failing to yield in that situation. So 14 people lost their lives in a typical year due to just this lack of yielding the right of way.
Which is one of the reasons I know up at the university we have those motorists must yield to pedestrian signs parked smack dab in the middle of the crosswalk as a reminder.
You bet.
I love those, by the way.
That is one of the type of engineering treatments that goes along with the idea of educating people as well as enforcement. One thing that our UWM police and the City of Milwaukee police do is high visibility enforcement of crosswalks. And so they will watch for a pedestrian who's crossing. And then if a motorist does not yield to them, they will give them a warning or a ticket. And then they'll bring the media out to that particular day when they're doing that ticketing and say, hey, please broadcast this so that everybody's aware of this responsibility to yield, because it's going to help make everybody safer.
I have to admit, as a big walker myself, my wife and I have become probably kind of annoying about signaling our unhappiness to motorists who don't slow down or fly through when you're about to step into the crosswalk. And I still have to remind my wife from time to time, yeah, you can express yourself, but remember, they're a lot bigger and faster than you are in those cars.
Well, so. it's a really interesting issue, and I don't have all day to talk about this stuff, but one of the research studies that I did prior to this one in Wisconsin was looking at national level data. And so my colleague and I surveyed 400 professionals from around the country and asked them, well, how often do drivers yield to pedestrians on a certain type of roadway in your community? So we tried to control for the type of roadway that was there. And we saw some real differences in terms of parts of the country. Out in California, especially the San Francisco Bay Area, we saw that drivers yielded to pedestrians in crosswalks very often. On the East Coast, it was hardly ever. And here in Milwaukee, we fit more with the East Coast in terms of driving and not yielding to pedestrians. But there were a couple of factors that went into that. One, of course, is the driver's awareness of the laws. Another is pedestrians' assertiveness. And so what practitioners were telling us is that out in California, for example, pedestrians know they have the right of way, so they're going to be assertive and show, I'm about to cross. And drivers also respect that. So there's a mutual relationship going on there to be come up with a safe outcome. Here, we kind of have the opposite, where pedestrians, for the most part, are passive and just wait as long as they need to for a gap in traffic. Well, one of the challenges with that situation where we have passive pedestrians is that other people who actually do want to cross the street and do need to cross the street are being stuck with the social norm that's created. And so the other potentially risky thing about it is that if you don't have the social norm where drivers are looking for pedestrians, if a child runs out into the street or if you have somebody who is physically impaired or has used alcohol, they may be getting hit by a car that is not expecting to look for them. So I think that the situation in California where you have drivers very aware to look for pedestrians in crosswalks leads to safer outcomes overall. But that's future research that I want to continue because we don't really have all the numbers yet. This is a theory. Anyway.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio is Bob Schneider. Bob is an assistant professor of urban planning at UWM in the School of Architecture and Urban Planning. And we're talking about his specialty research, which is looking at the impact of laws, rules, behavior on the safety of pedestrians and bicyclists. Bob, when we were chatting a moment ago and talking about some of the problems that can occur when people don't keep their eyes open, when a problem does unfold, I noticed you used the word crash and not accident to describe what happens when things go awry. What's the difference?
Yes. I'll just say in general that in traffic safety, about in the late 1980s, early 1990s, there was a recognition that the use of the term accident suggests that there are some other forces out there that may be leading to these unfortunate outcomes of injuries and fatalities on our roadways. But that takes away the responsibility that we all have in terms of us as citizens, in terms of travelers, in terms of the people who are engineering our roadways and planning our communities. It says, well, I guess there isn't anything we can do about these accidents because it's just an accident. Well, we know better. Through our research, we know that there are ways to prevent these incidents from occurring. And that's why we call these incidents crashes, because that suggests there is something that could potentially be done. It may be on the engineering side, enforcement side, educating people, but we all have a responsibility to keep other travelers safe on the roadways. One thing that has led, one thing that the discussion of crashes has led to over time is a new concept that state of Wisconsin, as well as a number of other communities around the country, have embraced, which is called Vision Zero. And that is a vision to have zero traffic deaths on our roadways. We shouldn't accept any more than zero deaths. This idea started in Sweden in the late 1990s, and cities like New York and San Francisco, for example, have been some of the pioneers here in the United States to say, okay, we can't live with any more than that. And so pedestrian and bicycle safety are an important part of leading to zero fatalities on the roadways.
As you think about the growing popularity of bicycling, you mentioned that about doubled the amount of biking that we do in this community mm-hmm. from 10 years ago. How much of that is attributed to the popularity of rent-a-bikes, you know, the bubbler bikes that are popping up?
That is a great question. I can't answer specifically, though we know that the bubbler system has already had about, I think it's 45,000 trips on it since it started in 2014. They have a nice website at Bubbler Bikes that allows you to look at their latest trip data, so you can see that.
And for listeners, we should probably explain if you're outside the
right.
city of Milwaukee, there are these wonderful racks filled with these gleaming blue bicycles with Bubbler written
That's
on the
right.
side.
That's right. Our public bike share system is called Bubbler here.
And appropriate for a little Milwaukee ease there.
For sure. And so the system has expanded from 10 stations when it initially launched in August 2014. And now I think they're well over 35. I think they may have 40 out there, expanding from downtown into neighborhoods. So that it's a more convenient choice for more and more people as the system expands. Now, those numbers don't figure in for the most part to those work commute numbers because there aren't too many people who are commuting to work by a bubbler bicycle. The bubbler bikes are used for that in some cases, but here in Milwaukee, we have a lot of tourists who use them, a lot of people who use them for just riding over to the lake and then back, some from one station to another to get to a restaurant or a coffee shop or something like that during the middle of the day. So that isn't included in those numbers that I said before. So there's much more biking than we even know about. Just so you know, one number that we have for, I guess this is bicyclists and pedestrians, they have a counter that counts every trail user up at the border between Shorewood and the city of Milwaukee on the Oak Leaf Trail, so on the east side of Milwaukee. And that counter over a one-year period up till this past June, from June of last year to June of this year, counted 367,000 users. And so
that's remarkable.
That's like 1,000 people a day passing mm-hmm. by that count site. A lot of those are people on bikes. There's also people walking and jogging and people on skateboards too. But there are all sorts of people using our trail system, and that's just one count location.
If we wanted to make southeastern Wisconsin, Milwaukee area even more bike friendly, what would be the best approach to accomplishing that? Creating more bike paths like the Oak Leaf Trail, which is marvelous, you know, one of the best in the state, or focusing on what our roads look like, you know?
Well, I think they both have to go hand in hand. In terms of the path system, there's a Rails to Trails Conservancy effort right now that is just getting started to find out key connections that need to be made within our region to help provide more trail access to more people and to connect to destinations. One example of a location that I think is underserved is on the northwest side of Milwaukee. The Oak Leaf Trail sections basically go north from Wauwatosa, and there's the east side Oak Leaf Trail in Milwaukee, but there isn't too much connecting in between. So seeing new trails along the 30th Street corridor as that develops, as well as maybe the Lincoln Creek corridor, could be opportunities to provide new trails. Now, with a trail system, it's really important to give opportunities to bicycle and walk to it. you don't want people to have to put their bikes in their cars or always drive to the nearest trailhead to be able to experience that. It's great if you can have it, an experience of walking and biking all the way from your home to the trail and then to wherever you would like to go. So the on-road improvements are also really important. And that includes bike lanes, it includes sidewalks, but one of the newer ideas that cities are embracing right now are something called neighborhood greenways. And these are taking advantage of neighborhood streets that are through streets, basically. So it's a residential roadway that may parallel a arterial and go to many of the same sorts of destinations. But that residential street should be a very slow speed for cars, have traffic calming like traffic circles or curb extensions, in some cases speed tables along it, so that the cars go really slowly and it's really a priority for the bicyclists who use it and the pedestrians who use it, as well as the neighborhood residents, just to have a really nice, safe street.
I love that idea. You know, you could use one of those down on the south side in the near Bayview area when you're trying to stay on the Oak Leaf Trail from the lake down to through the edge of southern downtown, all the way down to Bayview. There's a stretch along First Street, which you take your life in your hands there, you know, because people aren't accustomed to seeing bikes, I guess. But I've been known to drive on the sidewalk sometimes if it's particularly busy.
I think that's an interesting point too. There are a lot of bicyclists who don't feel comfortable riding on the streets, and so they're riding on the sidewalks. People see it all over town, and that's a reaction to not having good places to ride on the street. One other thing you mentioned, South First Street, that could be done on a street like that, that's worth considering, is taking the roadway and redesigning it slightly so that there's just one travel lane for cars in each direction, then provide a center turn lane or left turn pockets, and then have bike lanes on the outside. That's called a road diet. So it's going from four lanes down to three, basically, for cars, and then adding in bike lanes. What that does also is makes it a lot easier for pedestrians to cross that road. And it gives you opportunities to build in medians that can have trees or shrubbery or stuff like that, to make it much more of a community-oriented street rather than a thoroughfare for fast cars. So that's something that's in the works for that's something that's being thought of in terms of
and hopefully
strategies.
In the works someday. Well, Bob, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We're unfortunately out of time,
no,
but you know, so much to talk about. We're going to have you back on as we didn't get a chance to get as deep into the research as we would like to, but this is a good tee up for us to better understand the ways in which we can get around without a motor in front or behind us.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Thanks so much. Bob Schneider, Assistant Professor of Urban Planning at UWM, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You have been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.